Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. The folks over at touringplans.com have one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. The team over at touringplans.com is in the parks daily, collecting data and making sure that their models are as accurate as possible so that you have the best Disney vacation ever when you head down. You're going to have access to pre-trip tools like the crowd calendar, which lets you pick the best park to go to each day. And then once you arrive on your vacation, you'll have access to the mobile application lines, which gives you the optimizer where you select the attractions you are most interested in. And it will tell you using the data from right then the optimal way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. This really is the best money you can spend on your next Disney vacation. Check them out and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 937 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and thanks, as always, for dropping in, downloading the podcast. We appreciate that so much, and, you know, it's a Monday, so we're going to have a trip report to get your week started the right way here in mid-November. I can't believe it, but, you know, the year's flying by. It'll be Thanksgiving here in a couple weeks. And oh man, it's going to be the end of the year before you know it. But let's talk some Disney to have a good time here. And joining me today, we have a father and daughter team. I love this. We have David and Miriam. How's it going, guys?
It's going good.
Glad to have you on the show because, you know, it's nice to have a trip report to start the week, but also, you know, a father-daughter trip. That's something we haven't had too much here on the podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, December 5th is my actual birthday and happens to be Walt Disney's birthday as well, which I found out a couple of years ago. And my daughter had just turned 16 in September, the end of September. And I decided, well, rather than do it then, we would try it for around my birthday and get a look at the Christmas party and the stuff around December, get to see what it looks like at Christmas time. So I got the trip planned out, and I decided the other thing about her having turned 16 is that means that she was now eligible to go on some of the tours. So I thought, okay, let's book the Keys to the Kingdom tour because I'd wanted to do that. And the other thing we did was, of course, the Christmas party. And then it also turned out when I was trying to get – I'm a DVC member, and when I was trying to get my stay, it was I kind of booked it a little on the late side. So I ended up with 2 days at Saratoga Springs and 2 days at Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is my home resort. But the good thing about getting the Animal Kingdom Lodge is at that point, we were eligible for the Sunrise Safari. And the Sunrise Safari ended about a week or so after we left. So it was kind of, we knew it was the last chance to get that. So those were kind of the three big items that we had planned. And I've kind of got this thing going now where, because I've taken a couple of the kids one-on-one, but she was the first. But we go early morning on a Thursday, and then we come back on the last flight on a Monday, and that gives us kind of almost 5 days.
It's a good way to take advantage of the weekend and really, you know, make the most out of the trip because, you know, I like that idea because, again, you know, it's that extended weekend idea where you can really avoid missing too much work or school and still have a good time and be able to get down there during these special times of the year because I know, you know, from history that you know, the first week of December is a great time to go down there.
Yeah, it really is. It was spectacular. We hadn't been down there then. Actually, we normally had gone in the summer, so it was kind of a shock to have sort of decent weather. It wasn't too hot.
It felt cold at night, which was so weird.
But let me ask you about that, Miriam, because isn't that kind of, you know, for folks that go in the summer, like I'm the same way because I'm a school teacher, so we go, you know, mostly in the summer unless it's a race weekend. And, you know, with the Christmas decorations up, it's kind of nice that just at night it gets a little bit chilly, you know, but it's not like I'm in St. Louis. It's not like, you know, 20 degrees below wind chill. You know, I kind of like that nip in the air at night. It makes it feel more authentic.
Right. It wasn't uncomfortable. It was just it was just odd not being boiling in at Disney World.
I kept trying to remember to bring a sweatshirt, but it was warm during the day, so.
Yeah, that's always the trick. That's where they try to get you to buy the $60 sweatshirt, as my good friend Len says.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's kind of hop back though to the planning of this trip, and let me ask you, Miriam, when the idea came up to kind of go down with your dad, celebrate Sweet 16 down at Walt Disney World, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, since he'd planned a bunch of, like, I think a couple trips before, I was just like, okay, so these are the meals that I want, and yeah, that's great. Okay.
So what are your favorite meals? I like to get everybody's kind of thoughts on these. So, you know, 16-year-old, what stands out to you?
My favorite restaurants are 50s Prime Time and Boma.
I should be a 16-year-old girl because those are some of my favorites.
Those are great.
I think everybody likes that. That's good. Now, so David, let's talk about planning the trip before you left. You're a DVC member. Did you run into the split stay situation just because you couldn't find four nights at one resort, or was it a conscious effort? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, because although it's not a bad time in terms of the crowds, it is a high time for DVC because it's low. It's not a lot of points, and it's a good time of year. So there tends to be a little bit more competition for those rooms for the DVC. So I was able to actually, my original stay was even worse. It was 2 days at Saratoga, 1 day at Kidani, and 1 day back at Saratoga. But I put in a wait list request for the 2 days at Saratoga. I mean, sorry, 2 days at Kidani. I thought about doing all four, but I figured I had a better shot at just getting the two. So that's what I did, and it came through. Because we had the split stay, I decided to try something I hadn't done before, which is the dining plan. So I had never done the dining plan before, and we had a bunch of restaurants planned, and I figured, okay, we can do it at the first part of it. Disney, I hope you're not listening. Then we had the mugs for the whole time. And then those meals all covered. And we did the deluxe dining plan because I had a bunch of meals planned. And I'll tell you, I'm not sure I would like to do it again. We were about as full as you could possibly be. And then on top of that, we were both wearing birthday buttons. And so everybody insisted on giving us yet another dessert on top of everything else we were eating. So we were about to pop by the time we were done with that.
I took mine off after a while, so we would only get one.
So we just get the one dessert.
No, I promise it's not my birthday. My birthday's in April. Do not bring me a cupcake.
No more desserts.
That's awesome. Now, so you thought that the deluxe plan was too much food. Now, did you just do that for like one table service meals, or did you take advantage of any signature meals?
We did. We were going to Jiko, which was fantastic. It was the only place in Animal Kingdom Lodge we hadn't eaten at yet, and we decided to give it a try. And it was a really nice meal. I have to say, I was very impressed. And the dessert there that they brought for birthday dessert was just fantastic. It was actually one of the best ones we had.
So you keep those buttons on if you go to Jiko.
Yeah, that's right.
Lesson to be learned there.
Back out.
All right, well, let's kind of walk sequentially through the trip. So you get there on the 4th in the morning. You get to Saratoga Springs, get, you know, kind of settled, not really settled in, but checked in, ready to go. How was the room at Saratoga Springs? Did you get a good location? I mean, 'cause that's a huge place.
It is a huge place, and we got the absolute best room you could possibly imagine. And we got it while we were standing there checking in. So we even that early in the morning, they already had the room ready, which was fantastic. It was basically right across the road from where you check in. It was officially in the grandstand area overlooking the golf course. But it meant you could either go to the Springs bus stop or the Grandstand bus stop. So we tended to go there going on the Springs bus stop and come back and get off on the Grandstand because it was the first stop coming back. So it worked really well.
Good deal. So then it looks like you guys headed to the Magic Kingdom to kind of kick off the vacation. So, Miriam, how was that first day at the Magic Kingdom?
That was the Christmas party day.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. We just did the normal stuff that we usually do during the day, and then the Christmas party was cool because the castle lighting thing was really cool. It was pretty.
And you got to see Elsa doing that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
to the chagrin of some people, to the delight of others. It just depends how you fall on that argument.
I'm so tired of Frozen.
Okay, I kind of figured that's where you'd be. But yeah, you know, hey, I have a 7-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old. So one is very pro Elsa and the others, you know, not so much. So yeah, I know how that goes.
But the castle is beautiful, and it's spectacular when they do it. So it doesn't really matter who lights it up.
You got that right. Let me ask you this, David, because this is just my thought. In 5 years, I just think this, but I don't know if I've said this before. They're not going to have to hang those lights. They could project that onto the castle, because with that castle projection stuff that they do, I think that that'll be something obsolete here in the next few years.
Yeah, it probably will be, but it certainly looks pretty amazing right now.
It still looks cool during the day, though, because you could still see the lights on it.
Good point.
Yeah, you can barely see them during the day.
You can see them while you're walking.
So what were your highlights from the Christmas party? Because the parties did start this week. I mean, we are in the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party season once again. Can't believe it, but it started on Monday. You know, what can people look forward to that's something you guys enjoyed during the party?
Hot chocolate.
A lot of hot chocolate. I remember the one party I went to, I got a stomachache because I tried to drink $70 worth of hot chocolate.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this was the first day, so we hadn't quite completely exploded ourselves yet. So we were able to still eat the cookies and drink the hot chocolate, which was nice. The parade was great. The holiday wishes was very good. And, you know, show on the castle. And we also did the jingle cruise, and that was fun. We had a really over-the-top blocking on the word.
Skipper. And then we had the Scrooge guy right behind us that kept going, ugh, every time he made a pun. It was really annoying.
Yes. You're on the wrong boat, buddy.
Yes.
But then the skipper was making jokes about the guy doing that.
Yeah, he handled it very well.
It was probably his buddy.
yeah, could have been, but yeah, that was fun. And we got on a lot of rides very quickly during the Christmas party, particularly towards the beginning of it, as the day guests went out the door. Although it wasn't all that crowded on the day we were there anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was very nice. But the parade is really the highlight. And you know, I mean, I know you can see that without the Christmas party if you wait till later, but then you've got really big crowds.
Yeah, that's an understatement. You know, yeah, you can see that parade, but you see it with half the planet Earth watching it with you. It's crazy.
That's right.
All right, so let's move over to the next day, which is December 5th, which was your birthday, which you share with Uncle Walt, which is very cool. And you had a great, you know, breakfast. You're going to Cape May. Character breakfast there to start the day, but then, you know, unfortunately, a little panic and a little situation sets in this day.
Yeah. When I was getting ready to pay, and I mean, I had my magic bands, and that's what I was going to pay with, but I was looking for my wallet for something, and I looked around, and I couldn't find it, and I thought it fell under the table. I thought maybe it fell on the way in, and I just looked everywhere. I went to the front desk, and I filled out a form, and then they gave me the number for the taxi company, Mears, and I got a hold of their lost and found, and they said, well, you know, do you have the cab number? And of course, nobody who
knows
pays attention to the cab number, you know? So I said, no, I really don't. And I told him where I was coming from, you know, Saratoga Springs and so forth. And he said, okay, I'll put out a bulletin out and we'll call you back. So I'm waiting. We didn't hear anything, so I'm getting into more and more of a panic because I'm thinking I don't have my ID now. Should I cancel my credit cards? But if I do that, then the magic bands will no longer have something to go on to, you know, and I just wasn't entirely sure what we were going to do. But we finished up, and we started walking to Hollywood Studios, which was where our plan was for that day. And we got about halfway there. A boat went by, and people were waving at us, and Miriam waved back, and I'm just, you know, looking like death. And she says, you know, it's your birthday. We're at Disney World. You've got a happy birthday button on, and you look terrible. And I said, yeah. So I called him back, and I got to Lost and Found again. And he says, oh, the one with the silver wallet? I you know, I tried to call you back, but it was saying you weren't accepting calls. And we found it. And just the weight lifted off me. I mean, here I'm thinking, this is the first day practically, you know, the second day of the trip. my birthday, and it's all ruined, and I planned all this for nothing, and you know, and that just all that weight lifted off. And they said, you know, do you mind meeting them at the taxi stand? And I was like, I'll meet them anywhere, just give me my wallet back. And he handed it back to me along with every last little piece of paper that fell out. So apparently, when I got out, I got distracted after I paid, and it just fell out of my pocket. So I made sure I got it in there pretty firm after that.
And I bet you're walking on cloud nine after that, though, you know, because it's like the two extremes right there.
Exactly. I mean, I felt so good after that. I didn't even mind the fact that once we got into Hollywood Studios, because the plan was we were doing Hollywood Studios in the morning and Epcot in the evening. So we got our fast passes for Epcot and figured we'd get there, you know, rope drop and so forth. But because this took a while, it wasn't quite rope drop. It was more like line 9:30 or something. So we went straight to Toy Story Mania and got in a line that said it was 45 minutes and it took an hour and a half. But I didn't mind. I was just sitting there glad I had my wallet back.
But I was super annoyed the whole time because I didn't get to meet Minnie Mouse at Cape Mays.
Yeah, well, you know what? But your dad has his wallet back. And you know what? He's got a good daughter because you let him know. You put things in perspective. And I know that I get the same way. Like if one of my electronics quits working or something that's really trivial in the grand scheme of things, I mean, it's, you know, not as bad as losing a wallet, but you were giving him the idea that, you know, things could be worse. You're at Walt Disney World. It's your birthday. Let's move on. I like that you gave him a little perspective.
See, I was doing that, but in my head, I was thinking, couldn't you have had this crisis, like, not now?
Well, good. You didn't say it out loud. You're smart. You're smart enough to do that. Oh, that's so funny.
Right after that, we were able to jump onto Star Tours, and it said 20 minutes, and it took 8. So we got sort of a little better on that.
So you gained, the universe gave you back 12 minutes.
That's right.
Because it was your birthday. All right. Now, notice we're going to kind of hop through the trip here. You guys had lunch that day over at Sci-Fi.
Yes, we did.
I love that place. So what'd you think?
I really like it. I mean, it's very hard because usually we only eat one meal at Hollywood Studios, and it's a tough choice between 50s and Sci-Fi. I really like them both. But she had never been to Sci-Fi, and I thought, you know, we'd give it a try. And I'll tell you, what I had was very good. I mean, because of the deluxe dining plan, we got an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. And I had the steak for the entree and the appetizer. She had the buffalo wing poppers, and they were really good.
That's all I remember, though. I don't remember what else I ate. I just know I ate the buffalo wings.
Yeah, my daughter Paige had those when we were down there this past summer, and I had a couple of those things. Those were surprisingly good. And
amazing.
You know, yeah, I think it's a safe bet because most people like things like that. You know, you really can't screw that up.
Yep. And she passed on the dessert.
Oh, no, you can't. I saw you guys got another cupcake or a cake or something.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, lots of cupcakes.
So, Miriam, what did you think of the environment, though? Was it what you were expecting going in? Because it's, I don't know if people can get their head around what it's going to be like once you actually get there.
I didn't know exactly what it was going to be like. I kind of felt sort of awkward walking in because of the people we were passing and stuff.
Yeah, it's like you're on stage. Everybody's looking at you.
And then we were in a car with other people, but then we were in the front, I think, so then we were just watching the really awful old movies, and it was great. It was hilarious.
Yeah, just be lucky that those used to be the good movies back in the day. That's awesome, David. So did it live up to your expectations that you had in the past?
Yeah, no, I really like it. I like the atmosphere there. I think it's a fun dining thing, and it works really well for two because they just kind of stick you in one of the two-seater parts of the car, and it works fine.
Awesome. So now I see that you guys, that was a split day, like you said, you guys headed over to Epcot. You made the walk over there, and you had your fast passes scheduled for the second half of the day, which is the same thing that I typically do, so that I have a, you know, nice evening set up. But, you know, walking from the studios to Epcot, is it a big deal? Is it something that's doable for most people?
Well, you know, we live in Brooklyn, and so we walk a lot. When I have a Fitbit, and, you know, I hit 10,000 easily all the time, so we're just kind of used to walking. And we could have waited for the boat, but we just decided, you know what, we'll go ahead and do the walk. And I think we barely were beat out by the boat. The boat made it just before us, but
waiting for the boat's annoying anyway.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, I always, when I've walked it a couple times and I do the exact same thing, I try to beat the boat. Like, that's yes. my thing. You know, I'll even jog if I have to. You know, if I'm by myself, I won't, you know, make my kids run. But yeah, it's always a challenge. I'm not going to let that boat beat me. It's got too many stops.
Yep. And, you know, it was the typical what you're going to do as far as fast passes for Epcot. It was Soaring and Spaceship Earth. And then whatever else we happen to pick. I don't remember which one it was because none of the rest of them really need fast passes. So.
No kidding. If only they would take the tiered system out there, we could actually do Soarin' and Test Track. Come on.
Yeah. Test Track, I think, did we end up doing Test Track or not? I don't remember, actually.
I don't either.
If we did it the single rider line, which is what we kind of
That might have been what we did.
That's the way to go. Honestly, I mean, you know, like I tell my family, we drive from St. Louis. You know, it's like, we sit next to each other for 15 hours on the way down, 15 hours on the way back. You know what? If it saves me a half an hour, you can sit behind me or you can be on the next car. I don't care.
Exactly. So, yeah, no. And, you know, Soarin' is really the highlight one for me anyway. Okay. And we saw illuminations from the spot basically right next to where they have the dessert party. So it was a pretty good spot.
Which we've done before.
And they add a bit for the holiday illuminations, and it was very nice.
I love that. Now, you guys had dinner that night at Garden Grill, one of my favorite places, but kind of underrated and not talked about a lot, you know, on the podcasts and, you know, in blogs and so forth. So what'd you think of that?
Oh, Garden Grill is I think that was the first time we'd gone to mm-hmm. Garden Grill. And I just really thought the food was very, very good. I was, you know, we were going kind of, you know, we'll get to see the rotating restaurant and the characters. And
save
things.
Room for the dessert.
Yeah, the dessert was amazing.
Was it that little cone thing? It's kind of in a cone shape with chocolate things on. Is that what you're talking about?
No, they brought it. They have sort of a berry cobbler with like whipped cream or ice cream on it. It's so good.
Yes, the thing I'm thinking of is the kids' dessert. Because I took it away from Mallory. She didn't want it. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. This little cone looking, I don't even know what it was. Like, they had like chocolate mousse in it. Oh, so good.
Yeah, and the character interaction was really good, especially Dale. He came up and was...
shook my hand and we had a thumb war.
I didn't even know he had thumbs.
Yeah, he was able to do a thumb war, and then he made a heart shape in the air.
Because I was fun.
Nice. I think Dale had a little crush on you.
Yep. So that was that was fun. And, you know, Miriam's great about it. She really likes the characters. We always have a good time with the characters. And the food, I thought, was very good. It was, then you're rotating around one of the best rides, which is Living in the Land. So,
yeah, and it's one of those things that I think people don't think about it because, you know, when you think of Epcot, you're drawn to World Showcase with all those great restaurants back there. You don't think of like Future World sit down dining, but you know, I think people need to think outside the box. It's a nice meal. It's fun.
Yeah, no, we really liked it a lot. And they, of course, brought out more desserts.
I'm going with you
guys.
Because,
you know, they always brought out something with a candle in it. So.
And the Mickey Mouse sprinkles.
Yeah, yes. Lots of Mickey Mouse sprinkles.
You get those all. If you go on a cruise, they're on everything. Like, I always get Mickey bars for, like, if they have some fancy dessert, I'll just ask for a Mickey bar for dessert, and they always come out with sprinkles and chocolate syrup on top. It's awesome. I get them all the time. All right, so the next day, it looks like you guys headed back over to the Magic Kingdom. So was this a rope drop morning?
Actually, the next day was Animal Kingdom.
Oh, sorry. Maybe I missed it here in the notes.
Yeah, I might have. But yeah, no, we went to Animal Kingdom and we had the Sunrise Safari.
That was cool.
I'm pretty sure it was that day anyway. And that was really nice. I mean, you get up early, as the name implies, and you meet over at Jumbo House. So we had to walk from Kidani over to Jumbo House, which is what I usually do. I don't think that walk is too bad either. So we don't tend to like to wait for the buses.
The walk through the hotel was
Oh, yeah. She would say the walk through the hotel was the worst part because we managed to get the absolute, you know, people complain sometimes about the way Kidani is laid out, and I had never gotten it before. And we were about as far from the lobby as you could possibly be. About as far from Jumbo House as you could possibly be. So we had to walk over to Jumbo House, and they scan your Magic Band there because it requires park admission, but they let you in the back door, essentially. So they scan it before you go. And they had coffee and things for breakfast, but they told us that we wouldn't get a chance to go to the bathroom for about 3 hours. So I was reluctant to drink too much coffee.
Warning. So how many people go with you on that?
it was pretty good size. It was two busloads. So it was probably about, I don't know, about 40 people. And they take you in through the back door, and you get to, you know, when you're walking in that back way, because you're coming in through the employees way, you see the mirrors, and they pointed out the mirrors that there's actually, when we went to the Keys to the Kingdom tour, we saw this too. Everywhere where you're off stage, there's mirrors before you go on stage so that the people can look at their costume or, you know, what they have on and make sure they look presentable for going on stage. So we got to see that, got to see a almost empty Animal Kingdom, a few people walk into Tusker House for breakfast. And then they take you, and they take you on the regular, they took you on the regular Kilimanjaro Safari vehicles, but they drive real slow. And they talk to you a lot about the animals, and they talk to you a lot about, you know, what the different enclosures are like and how it stops animals from going one to the other. So it was kind of an insider thing. Really nice tour. And then they end with breakfast. They were ending it with breakfast at Pizza Safari, and the chef came out and talked about what everything was. And it was really nice.
Pizza Safari is really pretty.
You know what? I've never been in there, I don't think.
Yeah, it's kind of Discovery Island coloring, so it's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
seem to be going away from that on the newer buildings of Discovery
true.
Island.
That is true. I need to, yeah, Animal Kingdom is just, it's one of those parks where I've done the obvious stuff, but I haven't done the hidden stuff yet. Now I've done Harambe Market, that's one of the new things. I have done Tusker House, which we really, really enjoy, but again, it's always just off the radar. We don't think to usually beat, like on a race weekend, we usually don't go to Animal Kingdom, that's the park we miss. But, you know, for that Sunrise Safari, though, it seems like it's really cool because it's intimate. Now, did the cast members kind of give you a focus on conservation and the mission of the park and how Disney's trying to, you know, really make a positive impact on the environment?
Yeah, they sure did. I mean, they spent a lot of time on that. And the people who were taking you were actually the keepers from Animal Kingdom Lodge. So it was a strange tour because it's Animal Kingdom Lodge's tour, but they do it at Animal Kingdom and they have to arrange a lot of things. And they told me when I asked about it that was the problem with it, and that was why they were going to end it and do something else, was because they were coming over and having, you know, it wasn't always as well coordinated as they would have liked, although it was flawless on the day we went. So it was a lot of fun. And I have a feeling everybody liked it who did it, no matter how it came out. So
yeah, it was, but I know it was super popular with the guests. A lot of people loved that opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, where else are you going to get that? You know, they have the environment. So now one thing I want to ask you too, is because again, we know now that this is the last year of the Osborne Lights. I know you guys did head over to the studios for a fantastic Osborne Lights kind of evening, kind of to cap off a night there. You know, what were your thoughts on seeing the lights? And is this something that you know, as somebody who's a veteran Disney traveler, thinks is a huge, huge loss to the holiday season down at Walt Disney World?
It's definitely going to be lost, because I think that was one of the real highlights. It was, you know, it's just spectacular. You can stand there for a long time and just, you know, watch how it plays out. It was actually I mean, I'd heard it described, but I had never seen it, and it was really better than I thought it was going to be. So I thought, though, even last year there was sort of a worry that it was going to go away, so I wanted to catch it before it left because I'd heard such good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to be a loss. But I mean, you know, what are you going to do? They need the space. That place was obviously a place to go because there isn't much there during the day.
Yeah, I just hope they bring something back that's, you know, akin to it. You know, of course, you can't always bring the same thing back in a different location, but like how Epcot used to have the Lights of Winter, that was pretty impressive, you know, and that was a good location to have it. Maybe they could bring back, maybe not the Lights of Winter, but something along those lines, because they have that big, you know, walkway. Let's do something, though, to kind of replace it or give us something else.
Yeah. I certainly hope so, because otherwise, I mean, you know, the studios is going to be even, you know, lacking for the holidays.
Yeah, everything will be Star Wars, which I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. I have my tickets, man. It's just over a month now. I can't wait. But, you know, there's something to be said for the holiday season. I like my Christmas lights.
Yeah.
All right. So one other thing I want to ask you about. Again, you mentioned earlier you wanted to do the Keys to the Kingdom tour. And I've said on the podcast many, many times, I've been on a lot of tours, and this is my favorite. I think you get great value for your money. and you get a lot of good information. And you got to go with your daughter, and she was just old enough this time to do this. So how was that? You know, I think that'd be a cool father-daughter experience for Disney fans.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, it really is a small group. And the way they do it is they have you, everybody has a headset so that the guide can just walk sort of casually and you can hear everything he says without worrying about it. And they don't have to be trying to shout over the crowds. And, our guide was really good. And the whole experience was a lot of fun. He was very funny. And they give you a lot of good information. And it's one of those where, you know, obviously I'm not sure you want to do it if you're a newbie to Disney, but if you've been going for a while and, you know, you're not going to be messed up by seeing behind the scenes, which we certainly weren't. We really thought it was amazing. And I'll tell you what, the most impressive thing to me was when they take you behind Main Street and you see how small it really is when you don't have the forced perspective.
It looks like two houses.
It does.
It's just really amazing. I mean, you really see the effect of the forced perspective when you get to see it without it on the backside.
Yeah, it's shocking because I was down there for the media event for the grand opening of the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train a couple of years ago, and where they put these little video packages together of all of us. We got to ride the attraction, and they put GoPro cameras on us, and then Disney edited it down so we could bring it back to our media outlets and share that video. But you had to go. There's a door in one of the stores on Main Street there where you actually, it just looks like you're going into a dressing room. But if you take the right door, it actually puts you out behind Main Street. And there's kind of a little triangular area there backstage that is, you know, you see performers half, you know, half in costume, half out of costume. And it's, you're right. I mean, you look at it from backstage and it's, you just can't believe that that's Main Street USA. You know, the place seen your whole life. It's nuts.
And then, of course, getting to see the Utilidor was amazing because, you know, you don't really spend a lot of time thinking about the fact that you never see people in the wrong costume in the wrong area. And how does that get accomplished? And they're all walking underneath you.
That's true. Now, Mary, what was your highlight of the Keys to the Kingdom tour? What did you like the best?
Well, the whole tour was really cool. But what I thought was the funniest was that I was like 30 years younger than everyone else.
That's funny.
And that was, you know, they were filming for the holiday special, right? That was one of the days they were doing the filming of the concert part of the holiday special. So there were various celebrities of sorts walking down in the Utilidor. And so some of the people would walk over to Miriam figuring maybe she would know who they were, and she doesn't. So she's just like, I have no idea.
Well, I know we watch it. It's a tradition to watch it on Christmas Day here at our house. And, you know, more and more, I guess they're getting more, you know, global in their scope. And, you know, a lot of those groups are, you know, like Latin groups or, you know, folks that are from outside the United States. And I mean, I'm not that hip with even the guys people in the United States. So I didn't know who half of them were either. I'm getting old.
Yep.
Makes me feel better though, Miriam, that you didn't know either, because it makes me not feel so bad about that. So anyway, though, but it sounds like you guys had a really good trip. Now, do you have anything on the horizon? Like, when's your next trip?
Well, we're actually planning on going to Disneyland right after school gets out, so the very end of June, beginning of July. And we haven't. I used to go to Disneyland a lot as a kid. I'm originally from California, but I haven't been back to Disneyland since I was probably about 15, and I won't tell you how old I am now, but not 15. So I'm looking forward to it. And of course, California Adventure wasn't there when I was there before. So that's kind of our next big Disney trip.
Well, it sounds great. And we appreciate the time that you gave us today to kick off another week. Miriam and David, thanks again for sharing this awesome trip. And I hope to talk to you about Disneyland when you guys get back.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. They have one major goal, and that's keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. You'll also have access to the Optimizer, which sits right there on your smartphone. And you just check off the attractions you're most interested in, and it'll let you know the way to see those attractions with the least amount of weight. Really, it is the best money you can spend on your next Disney vacation. So check them out today. Don't miss out. Go over to touringplans.com. Join us on Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're right there at magicalmouseradio.com, and we're only about 2 weeks away from the holiday audio returning to the station. That's right. I can't believe it. I'm already working on it. So be ready for that. And don't forget the next Be Our Guest Podcast live show. I can't believe this is on Sunday night, December 20th. That's right. It'll be right before Christmas. That's the next live show. Sunday night, December 20th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at Magical Mouse Radio. So put that on the calendar. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And you can drop by the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And I know a lot of folks do have some long runs coming up in marathon training, half marathon training, goofy dopey, all that stuff. So just wanted to wish everybody a good luck as we get into serious mileage season here, getting ready for marathon weekend. You can do it. Hang in there. Post on the Lizards Facebook group and get some encouragement and put those sneakers on and get in your miles. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be worth it in January. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thanks again, as always, for downloading the show, for supporting everything that we do. We couldn't do any of this without you. So for David and Miriam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.